the screen now.
I kept wondering, why is he not?
You doing something?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
Because James let him this morning.
You're not making any sense to me. You guys usually know.
We are taking over for James Oliver, which is not here. This is his term, so we're sharing. That's what I explained this morning.
We are sharers.
Well, if we want to confuse you, we would. He'd lead up one or two, and I'd lead one or two. Then we'd say, Doug, you're supposed to lead the invitation at the last minute.
But the computer's not even turned on.
Okay. While Doug's doing that, we're going to start.
Go ahead.
Last time to start.
Go ahead.
193, if you don't mind. Please turn to 193. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want, O Lord. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want, O Lord. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Strong deliverer, you'll turn with me to 273. I know the Lord will find a way. After we sing this song, David Hutchcraft, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Thank you.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. If I walk in heaven's light, shall the wrong and do the right.
for our prayer.
Almighty Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer tonight to give thanks for your Son Jesus Christ, for the Bible, and for the strong teachers of the world that bring that message to us. Heavenly Father, we are blessed that we live in a country that lets us worship in freedom. We pray that that freedom will never be taken away from us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as our country is somewhat divided, that you bring us together as one nation. Heavenly Father, we pray for those not able to be with us. We pray that you heal them, that they may once again return to your flock. Heavenly Father, we pray that the message we receive tonight will strengthen us as Christians and make us able to walk in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like for you to turn to number 9, A Wonderful Savior, number 9.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows of my mercy land. He hides my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden.
This time, I'd like for everybody to mark 768, 768. 68. That will be our song of invitation after our lesson this evening. While we pray and while we plead. And before the lesson of the hour, let's turn to number 22. All the way my Savior leads me. Number 22.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Yet I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers His winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul but first may be gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised, in my Father's house above. When my spirit, both immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
David's going to do the first scripture reading.
Okay, mine's 9:27-30.
Yes, I'm good now. Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, our first scripture reading this evening is Matthew chapter 9, verses 18-26. 18-26. It's on page 857 of the Pew Bible. While He spoke things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped Him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did His disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of His garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch His garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when He saw her, He said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, He said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed Him. But when the crowd was put outside, He went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land.
It's the same page in the Pew Bible, starting in verse 27 where David left off. And I'll read down through 35. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when He had come into the house, the blind men came to Him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to Him, "Yes, Lord." Then He touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when Jesus has departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the ruler of the demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
Tonight, as we look at the idea of Jesus being our shepherd, that we have a shepherd for us, we also want to think about this and use kind of a parallel, since we have been studying the eldership, is that one of the things that it tells us about the eldership is that the elders are to be shepherds. And I don't want to spend too much time in drawing that comparison, but I want us to think about it as we go along about what we're talking about and thinking about as we look at shepherds. But most of all, of course, we want to look at Jesus, what Jesus was, what he did, how he did it, so that we can be better servants as well. From the scripture reading, we see that Jesus was loving and he was compassionate with people. He healed the woman, you know, that she had 12 years. I think about this, 12 years that she had been suffering. No one could do anything for her. And finally, she came and she grabbed the edge of his robe, and was touched it just by touching it and healing it. And normally that's not the way that things happen with Jesus, but because of her faith, she was able to do this, because of her faith in him, that she knew that she would be healed if she could just do that. And that he raised the girl from the dead. One of the gospels says that about this woman is that she was not dead when the father came to bring her. At least that's the indication, and maybe it had been two separate indications, two separate things. But anyway, Jesus raised this girl from the dead, a 12-year-old girl who had gotten sick and had died, and Jesus came and raised her from the dead. And, you know, that's just, you know, we think about things like that. Of course, you and I, we can't do this kind of stuff, right? But God can do these kind of things. He did through Jesus Christ. Also, he healed the blind man. The two blind men came to him, thinking about this, following him. It said they followed him. And I wondered if they followed him because of the voices that when they got to a house, it stopped. You know, he couldn't go any farther, right? And so Jesus turned around and said, "What do you want?" And Jesus said, "We want to see." And he says, "Okay." He touched their eyes. And he said, let as your faith indicates." Basically, how you believe is how you're going to be healed. And they were both healed. So it's always so much in relationship with God that in relationship with Jesus, according to our faith, does our shepherd lead us. Now, he's there always leading us. Don't misunderstand me. He's always there to be there for us. But it makes a difference in how we believe, how we have faith, how we trust, and how we obey him. And then he cast out the demon. Did you catch what it said about the demon? Not only did he cast it out, and they began to say, he's casting it out by the devil. He didn't refute it. He just went about doing what he was going to do. Went about doing his work. And there was times that he refuted it when they made charges like this. But at this indication, he didn't. He just went about doing right, doing the good, healing people, teaching people. And sometimes we've got to let it flow off our backs when people criticize us. When people criticize, you know, as we're doing the work of God and so on, and trying to be what God wants us to be. And because people have all kinds of ideas about what's right and wrong, And I think as James McMillan mentioned in class this morning, is that no matter what they did, what good that Paul and Silas did, for example, they were still persecuted, even though they were doing good and teaching people and so on. They did good thing by casting out the demon that the woman that had been following them around and so on. They did good. And still they were beaten and thrown into prison and put in stocks. And so Jesus did that too. He just kept going, kept doing the right. There's many more, of course, we know of many more things. Many other times we see many miracles that Jesus did because he was loving, because he was compassionate. And I guess a quick comparison here is that this is what our shepherds, as elders, are to be, is that they're be loving and compassionate. Will they do miracles like this? No. But will they do the work of God like this? Yes. And as his children, we should be doing the works of God like this, with love and compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. The people were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 36. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Again, you see the compassion of Jesus, the compassion for people, for who they are and where they're at. And I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I think it's really important. We accept people where they're at and then gently invite them to grow. We accept people for whatever they've done as far as their religious background or whatever they've done in life. We accept them for that. Not the woman, like the woman at the well. Jesus accepted her for where she was at and called her to him. We accept people where they're at, not because their sin is right or whatever, but we invite them then to grow to Christ. And we want that. Shouldn't we want that for ourselves? Accept me and help me to grow. Help me to become. That's what Jesus is calling here. And he said, because they were distressed. Our world is distressed today. People in our world are distressed. They're dispirited like sheep. They don't know, you know, they don't know where they're going to go. One thing I learned about sheep growing up is that if a sheep got in the rain, now their coats really shed rain pretty good, you know, especially if they've full wool, but they can get soaked and they just kind of stand there, you know, and it's just like it runs off of them. And the same way with horses. I spent time with, you know, working and living and raising horses, is that, and Jamie mentioned this to me the other day too, and he had some horses in the snow, right, in the bad weather. He said they just got out in the wind and put their backs to the wind. And, you know, the horses know how to do things like that to keep, they may look just soaked to pieces, but, and usually, I always thought it was funny as a kid, one horse would hit back leg usually like this, you know, like they're resting, and I suppose they would change to the other leg, but they don't know. It's just, you get through it. And Jesus is saying so many people today, and maybe we are too sometimes, getting distressed and just getting through it, getting through life one step at a time. Sometimes days are better than others, right? Some days are better than others. Some days are great, and some days aren't so great, but we need God. We need Jesus to be our shepherd. Verses 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." And we've been doing that, haven't we? Been trying to do that as we begin to launch our ministry. I really appreciate Jamie meeting with the ladies today. Ladies, I really appreciate you, your interest and desire and compassion to be a part of this ministry, because we can't do it. You know, we have to do this together. This is a congregational effort. And beseech, pray, beg, you know, people to be a part of it. We need, because the harvest is plentiful. Think about, and I'm stealing from my lesson from next week about the woman at the well, but Jesus pointed to the people as they were coming out. He's going to point to them, and he said, "Now look, the harvest is plentiful." The apostles didn't understand that because he had just been talking to one woman, and now Jesus turns and he'll say, there's your harvest right there. And so as we think about that, we need to have faith, and that our shepherd is going to provide the answer and provide the way and provide the harvest. We plant, right? We water. God brings the increase. John 10:1-6. the shepherd of the sheep will hear and follow. Verses 1 through 3 to start with. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now we're going to read this again. We're going to see that this idea again here in a little bit. But understand that Jesus says, I am the door. I am the way to get to God. And so we need to open the door so people can see God and see his way to him. Now we need to see it. We need to see the way to God. We need to be the way. We need to help be the shepherd to bring people in. And then we have shepherds that will oversee it and bring it all together and hold us together spiritually. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. I don't remember. I've talked to you, you know, about the sheep that I raised, you know, a couple times, a couple bum lambs that I raised. I guess I probably named them. I don't remember if I did or not. I don't remember what their names were. But I knew if I called, they would come like a dog would, better than a cat by any means. But and you'd call them and they would come. They'd come running. They'd come up and flock around you. Sheep flock. They would wrap themselves around you, you know, and so on, especially when they were little. And they would come running to you. There's a story about there was a big field of sheep. And out of this big field of sheep, the shepherd said, he said, someone asked him, how do you get the sheep to come? How do you get the sheep together? And he says, I call them. And he says, well, do you want to try? And so there was 3 or 4 people there, and they each tried to call them and whistle to them and holler at them, and they didn't budge. But the shepherd just quietly raised his voice and called them, and they came. So what we need to hear here is that when Jesus calls us to his service and to his work, that we step forth and do it, and to be what he wants us to be. The shepherd is calling. Let us answer the call and follow the shepherd as he calls out his sheep and leads them out one by one. Verses 4 through 6. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they did not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So often Jesus talked to the disciples and tried to teach them a lesson, and it just kind of went over their head. They said, what? You know, what's he talking about? Is that a parable? Is he talking in, is that really, you know, and so on. And there was a confusion. You see it as you read and follow about the disciples. And this is one of those cases that they weren't getting it. But because we talked about before, verse 5 says, a stranger, they simply will not follow, but flee him because they don't know the voice of the stranger. And Jesus was talking to them about himself, how he called people. And were there people that did not follow Jesus? Many, many people didn't follow him, rejected him, and so on. But many heard his voice and say, no one has ever spoke to us like this man has done. No one. You read about Jesus in the New Testament. You read the Gospels. And truly that's so. He had a way with people that no one ever did. And he didn't have to do it with trickery. He didn't have to do it with sound systems, big, you know, voices, large music, loud music, whatever it might be, to draw people in. He did it by who he was and how he did it and so on. So when the shepherd leads, people will follow. Not because of their powerful personality. Paul said, I'm not a great speaker, remember? Paul says, I'm not great, but it's because of how God works in me. Remember after Paul had received the thorn in the flesh? How he had received the thorn in the flesh, and he said, I learned that the best way for me to follow is to be weak so God can be strong through me. That's what we have to learn. That's where we have to be, people, is to be that kind of follower that God wants us to be. Again, remember what Jesus said in verse 3, to the doorkeeper open, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And there's only one doorkeeper, only one, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. When the disciples had been threatened to be beaten in Acts chapter, I'm just quoting now, it's not Acts chapter 20, that's what I was going to say, but in Acts, early chapters, like 5 and 6, when they threatened him and threatened him, they said, we have no other way to speak, for there's only one in whom we can speak, one who's going to save us. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And we will not be silent. So when the door opens, when the doorkeeper opens, when Jesus opens, and the apostles were just, what were they? Were they the main shepherd? No. They were the ones that were serving to help open the door for people's hearts and lives. That's us. Not that I'm comparing us with apostles. We're not. But it's us, it's our responsibility as we do this, and to help the elders, as we choose elders, to do this, to do their work as shepherds. We hold up their hands. Remember what Moses did when Moses was fighting that battle? And the God said, hold up the staff. As long as you're holding up the staff, you're going to win. What happened when the staff came down? Well, they started losing. And so what did the others do? They held up his arm so he could hold up the arm and do his work that God had called him to do. That's the rest of us, you know, is to hold up the arms and help out our shepherds. He says in verse 4, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. So Jesus led them. Think about Jesus and his disciples. Jesus didn't say, you guys go. Well, he did send them out, right? He sent them out after he had been with them for a while, two by two, and they came back rejoicing because he had empowered them to do great things and teach great things. But most of the time, Jesus led them. He said, come follow me. What was his call to people? Follow me. And follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, right? Follow me. And so that's our cue, is that we follow our shepherd, Jesus Christ, so we can become more like him. Continuing on in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, Jesus says, I am the door. Verse 7, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Well, who came before him in this time frame? Well, probably the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Sanhedrin Council. There's no Sanhedrin Council in the Old Testament. This is something that was created after 400 BC, after that period of time when the silence, you know, there was no prophecies and so on, no prophets and so on. And so we find out that Jesus says, these are not really leaders. These are not the people you want to have. Think about 400 years with us in America. 400 years ago, this country was just being settled. That's a lot. I mean, we think back on it, and it's just like in the 1600s, right? 1700s? I mean, it's just getting a good start. 400 years back then was, I mean, of course it was a long time. But it was a long time that the people were without the kind of leadership that they should have had. All who came before me, Jesus said. But I have come to be the door. I have been come to be the shepherd to lead you out. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and go out and find pasture. The thieves come only to steal and kill and destroy. And we know that Jesus was that way. He came to seek and to save the lost. Remember what he did, he came and came to seek and save the lost, what it says in Luke chapter 9. And that's what he came to do. That's what we are coming to do. That's what we are to be and do. If we enter through him, we will be saved. And then he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants us to have an abundant spiritual life. Abundant, that we're full of him, we're full of life, we're full of the joy of the Lord, and we not only do that, but we share that love and that joy with the people around you. I was so impressed this morning that we had some visitors, and so many of you went and ministered to those people. It made a difference, it made an impact upon their lives. David Hutchcraft and I had the blessings of going ahead and taking them out for lunch today, and they were just And they were open, they were friendly, they were thankful. And they've had a lot of different hardships in their lives, as we all have. But they were glad that we did this. And I think as we continue to reach out to them, maybe by cards, maybe by calls, hopefully they'll come back and be with us again. They've attended a lot of different places, different churches. So it's good to have a people that care for people. We need to care for each other so people can say how much we love one another as well. But Jesus said, I came that you might have, that my sheep, that's us, will have an abundant life in him. That's why. Not that we'll have to drudge through life. Even though life has a lot of pains, a lot of hurts, a lot of sorrows, but still, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And Jesus has come to give us that kind of abundant life in him. Abundance, sometimes people take and say, well, we're talking about abundance financially, right? That's not his emphasis. Money was never Jesus' emphasis. But abundance is in him, in Jesus Christ. May we find the abundance that comes in Jesus. In John 10:11 and then 15 and 13, Jesus lays down his life for us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There was an elder in the church in the mid-100s. Polycarp was his name. And he was old. He was, as far as, said that he was somewhere around 89, 90 years old. And he had been a faithful, strong shepherd of the Lord. But the persecution had been starting to really rage in the Roman Empire against Christians. And they heard that the soldiers were coming to arrest him, to take him. And so the family took him into the house and hid him in the house. And the soldiers knocked on the door and we're looking for Polycarp, who again was an elder of the church. And so they took him, but they wanted to take him. And the family would say, oh, no, he's not here. Polycarp just came out and walked in from, I'm Polycarp. And they took him. And they took him to the arena. And there were other Christians that were being killed there. They first would have lions, and they killed some of the Christians that way. And they tied him to a stake and set it to fire, getting ready to set it by fire. And they said, why did you do this? He says, I've lived, how many years it was, 89 years in service to the Lord. And now I am able to go home to him. And the whole idea with Polycarp was that I lay down my life. So all the people that hid him were Christians. He did it for them. So they would not have to go here. He says, I'm old. I'm ready to go and be with my Lord. And he died in the fire. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus did that, didn't he? He laid down his life for us. He struggled with it in the garden. But once the decision was made, they said, Who is Jesus? And basically he ended up saying, it's me. I'm the one. And they just took him, and it went on from there. A lot of cruelty between then and the time he rose from the dead. And then it says in 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And that's the greatest thing that Jesus has done for us, is he laid down his life for us. And that we are to, if necessary, lay down our life for each other and for him. Without Jesus, we are sheep without a shepherd. We have no purpose. We have no hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about this. He says, if there is no resurrection, we are most men to be most pitied. Without Jesus, we have no shepherd. But with Jesus, we hear his voice. His voice that we hear through the word of God. We hear it. We know his way. He calls us by name. And it's true. He'll say, I want you and you and you. But he knows the name, every name, and he's calling you and coming to me. Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, right? He leads us. He says, I'll show you the way. Follow me. He goes ahead and we follow him. Jesus is our door to salvation. Our only door. There is no other door. He is our only door to salvation. Jesus came to bring us abundant life in him. Abundant life. He has laid down his life for us so we can lay down our lives for him. We can have him only if we accept him and follow him and obey him. Will you walk with him through the door with Jesus today. Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
While we pray and while we plead, while you see your souls in need, while your Father calls you home, will you not, my brother, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? You have wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn from God your face, but today accept his grace. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? In the world you fail to find all the peace for troubled mind. Come to Christ on him believe, peace and joy you shall receive. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Come to Christ, confession make. Come to Christ and pardon take. Trust in him from day to day. He will keep you all the way. Why not now?
Why not now?
Why not now?
Why not now?
Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now?
Why not now?
Why not now?
Why not now?
Why not come to Jesus now?
I want to thank everyone for being here and worshiping with us tonight and singing praises to God. We have a lot to be thankful for. And we've got some visitors this morning. Just so you know, Lee Merriweather's one that invited them. It works. It works. So we need to continue. He must have had some kind of influence. So that influence that you have on your brothers, your sisters, that potential, continue to work on them. Is there any announcements that needs to be made? I have one. It probably should have been made this morning.
I think some of the ladies need to meet and maybe do a few cards.
Okay. Okay. I'm taking this on my own, guys, but it is February, and the third Sunday, we might want to consider doing something for the ladies on fixing their meals, the third Sunday. So if you got mad at anybody, we get mad at me then, not your wives. So I want to remind everybody that it is February. It is Sweetheart Month. Is there anything else?
Today was the deadline for the evaluation form.
Day was the deadline. I know that Don got one at least this morning. He hopefully got more. But I hope everybody that turned one in has had that opportunity. So if there's nothing else, Jamie, would you dismiss us, please?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, come to you in prayer, asking that all things that we do be through you and the light for you. Father, we've missed some people today. We've missed Miss Pearl today and Naoma and Dustin. that I can remember. We just pray that everything's okay with them, and they're just waiting on the weather to clear up to where they can get out again. But we hope and pray that they know they're missed when they're not here, and we know they miss being here. Father, be with this congregation as we take on this work. People's excited, but it's new. We just pray that they'll stick with it. We know that great things can come from this. We know that we can build your church and this congregation through going out and trying to touch people's lives and saving souls. Father, be with each and every one of us as we go out this week, that the things we do will be a reflection in the public, that they won't have to ask what we are. They'll know that there's something different about us, and they'll want to find out, and they'll want to come here and visit. Father, be with all the sick, and these things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pearl is well. She just is waiting for the weather
to
clear up. And Naoma has not been feeling well. I've been in contact with her, and she's having some challenges.
I'm sorry. Naoma
is not well right now.
I'm thinking about cards. So if you... we're going to have to special kind of, I mean, it's kind of that normal size envelope. I can go and pick up some envelopes that size. I'll go to the office supply store, and I can also go to the post office. And my
they don't come